Hello, everyone. Let's start with the obvious. Oh, well, there's a couple of different things here to talk about. But are you as perplexed as me, even with a countout, why they were just so eager to give Brian Cage his first loss, especially in the way that they did?
I'm dumbfounded by that. I mean, like, you know, the big talking point of the night should be what happened after that.
Yeah.
But I go back to Brian Cage losing, like, I'm still like, I'm almost in shock in a way. Like, it's such an obviously stupid decision. Don't have him lose in any way, shape, or form. And especially like Kong being the one to do it so they can set up a Kongo Kong feud. But Kong just lost to Moose. What's the point of it?
What's the point? Yeah, I had the same reaction. I don't know exactly what the point was, to be quite honest. I mean, so if you missed it, and Andrew alluded to it, the story should be what happened after. Because after, we can hit on that quickly, was Petey Williams was getting arrested for being the backstage attacker. He was holding one of the red cards when Sanjay and a bunch of guys walked up on him. And clearly, I mean, I think everybody knew that it wasn't Petey Williams. I mean, they've been teasing it for weeks, which means it's not really going to be Petey Williams. And so this cop, this enormous-looking police officer, takes Petey Williams away. They get – who was attacked? Was it Falaba?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so Falaba gets tended to, and Sanjay does whatever he does to help Falaba get treated. And this cop has Petey Williams off in a dark corner of the building somewhere. And then attacks them, and either they found, you know, a working cop, which is good, or this guy's not really a police officer. And no, so he beats up Petey Williams and chokes him out with a nightstick while Petey Williams is handcuffed, by the way, and then takes the card, the red card with the black cross on it, lays it on top of Petey Williams, and reveals himself to be this mystery attacker. Now, nobody knows who he is. They didn't give out a name or anything like that. I recognize the person. I'm sure other people will recognize the person as well. It was Kevin Cross, who is, I'm assuming, now going to debut with the company soon. I know he was with Lucha Underground for a short period of time. I don't think he was ever on TV, though. But he's been with AAA for about a year. And I think I could be wrong. I think that he wrestled for Jeff Jarrett's initial GFW back in, what was it, 2014 or 2015?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, yeah, I think – and he's a veteran of the independents, but he has some notoriety behind him as well. But that was the angle that took place after Brian Cage just inexplicably lost a match to Matt Sydal. And again, it wasn't a pin, so they can go with, I guess, well, he's never been pinned. But was just – it seemed just needless to me. Like, you needlessly gave away – Brian Cage's undefeated streak for what? Like you said, to set up a feud with Kongo Kong? Really? It just, I don't know. I can't imagine anyone's going to be all that excited about Brian Cage losing like that.
No, not at all. I mean, I assumed they were doing the Goldberg template where he ran through people for a few months and then he had that U.S. title match with Raven, destroyed him. And that was like WCW's secondary belt. So I was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, it's interesting to have him in the X division, but it seemed the right call would be for him to beat up the cocky Matt Sydal in 4 or 5 minutes. I even liked how Josh Matthews alluded to it as the match is going. He's like, hey, this match could end at any time. What are we going to do to, you know, fill airs? We might have to have another match.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
So I was liking what they were doing with everything. And I thought there'd be like a big celebration crowning moment. And man, I was watching it, and I'm like, that did not just happen.
if you missed the show, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, if people are listening to this and they didn't see the show, Kongo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs come to ringside, and at first just kind of watch things. They don't really do anything at first. Kong ends up throwing Cage into the ringside steps. That knocks him out, and he gets counted out. And that's how the match ended. And it kind of ended as much as it sounded like, in the way I describe it, you're like, really, that's it? Like, it kind of ended with a dud, thud. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. And then Matt Sydal was on the ramp celebrating with Jimmy Jacobs and Kongo Kong. So, hey, maybe they're going to form some sort of stable here. I don't know, but there's ways to put Matt Sydal with Jimmy Jacobs and not have Brian Cage's undefeated streak be the thing, the, the catalyst for putting those guys together. I mean, there's plenty of other options here. And even though they can say, hey, he's never been pinned, you take away the he's never lost. Like, you're taking that away from yourself when I don't think you have to. And I'm sure, like, when he goes for the title, if he happens to have been pinned by the time he wrestles for the world title, they're going to sit there and play up, oh, he's never been pinned, he's never been submitted. Yeah, great. You could also say he's never been beaten. And especially if it's for some angle to, what, set up a match with Kongo Kong for the paper for Slammiversary? I mean, is that the idea here? You could have Brian Cage wrestle Kongo Kong at Slammiversary without Brian Cage having to lose a match leading up to that.
Yeah, they're not getting anything out of this. That should have been a major moment months down the line. As much as Impact can, that should have been there. Goldberg lost to Kevin Nash, except for, you know, we saw how that played out. You know, they should have learned from history and actually done something with this, built it up. And in my mind, it's like, well, unless they're firing Brian Cage or he's, you know, in trouble backstage, why would you do this? I'm baffled in multiple ways. Like, why did they have Kongo Kong lose to Moose? They could have done undefeated essentially versus undefeated. They just botched that completely. And, a few months ago we talked about, like, oh, who would beat Brian Cage, and who would have ever guessed months from then it would have been, well, Matt Sydal by cheating.
There was a lot of things on this show that I just felt were head scratchers. You know, if you talk about Moose, he wrestles Eli Drake to be number one contender at Slammiversary. Yeah. And again, we knew going, as we talked about last week, we knew who was going to win the match because they had a press conference where Moose came out and talked about his title match. So everybody knows Moose is going to win the match. But the presentation of it, how's a hardcore's fine? I mean, their production values for the size company they are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're having your number one contender match happen outside of your own show. Like, again, I don't get it. I really don't. If you wanted to put a match, if you wanted to feature a match from House of Hardcore, to me it would have made a lot more sense to send Kira Hogan and Tessa Blanchard to do their no DQ match at House of Hardcore and keep the Moose Eli Drake match in your own building. It just seems like, I don't know, it seems like for the last month or so there's been a lot of decisions made from a booking standpoint, from a creative standpoint, where you and I sit here after the show's over and just go, what are they thinking? And I don't remember questioning things like this recently. I mean, really the first 4 months, 5 months of Callis and Demore's had been really good, and certainly much better than a portions last year. I mean, probably a year ago, right? I mean, I think Jeff Jarrett was the last time you and I sat here on a week-to-week basis and have just been said to ourselves, you know, what are they doing? And I feel like we're doing that more and more often over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the thing is, okay, so there's three pay-per-views a year for them. They should be protecting those main events as much as they can. And they gave away, like, this should have been built up for weeks. The winner gets to go to Slammiversary. It's their second biggest pay-per-view of the year. And it happens midway through the show, mid-match. They skip out portions of it. And the announcers pretend they don't know who's going to win. None of that makes any sense whatsoever. I mean, it looked awful, as usual. You cut stuff out of the match. It just interrupts the flow.
Yeah, the match is so important, we're going to take a commercial break right in the middle of it.
And just cut around. That's the biggest match they had, essentially, within storyline terms at the moment. So that should have main evented the show. And they just did nothing with it. They just got it out of the way completely, which makes me worry again that Moose is going to be main eventing the show.
I mean, it especially makes me question the idea to not put that match on last when your actual main event was your big babyface losing by count out. Not that you want Brian Cage shouldn't have lost. Regardless, like, I'm not trying to make the point of, oh, you know, well, it's okay if he lost if they did it at 9 o'clock. No, he shouldn't have lost at all. But wouldn't the big moment of the show be the big babyface getting his shot at the world title? I mean, that seemed to me like that should have been portrayed as the big deal. To me, like, if you're gonna have Brian Cage lose and you don't want it you don't want people to come out of that show remembering that Brian Cage lost. You book it in a way that you can hide it with, you know, a moose win. Or honestly, I think that's why they ran the angle they did tonight. I mean, it kind of felt like they were trying to hide the fact that Cage lost by running that angle afterwards, hoping that people come away, you know, looking at the Kevin Cross angle and forgetting the fact that Brian Cage lost his match. And, you know, my response to that would be then just don't have – if that's what you're worried about, don't have Brian Cage lose. Like, mm-hmm. It's a simple solution.
Yeah, I mean – don't book this match if they didn't want Masvidal lose the title.
Yep.
Yeah, don't book it.
If
there's
you're
a
not
million
willing
ways
to put Brian Cage over, don't put him in the match.
Yeah, there's a million ways to get to Kongo Kong. Like, Kongo Kong can attack him backstage. That's it. He can show up at his house. He can show up at any other arena and beat up Brian Cage a million different ways.
Kongo
and they went
Kong
with the
could have attacked
one.
Yeah, Kongo Kong could have attacked Brian Cage in the middle of the match and caused a DQ where Cage would have won by DQ.
That would have been better. Like, anything but Cage just, like, looking baffled at the end of the night in his winning streak just evaporate in front of his eyes, and they got nothing out of it.
And as a heel, you still could have done that. I mean, if the idea here is Matt Sydal is joining up with Jimmy Jacobs and Kongo Kong, because they were all – the three of them were on the ramp at the end of the show. So that could be part of the storyline, too. You could still do it where it looks like Cage is going to win – Kong comes in and attacks Cage, causes the DQ, Cage wins the match, doesn't win the title, and it saves Matt Sydal's championship. So you do a beatdown, Kong beats up Cage, Sydal hits the whatever, the shooting star press, whatever it is. I forget, does he do a shooting star press, or is that Andrew Everett?
Does do one, yes.
Yeah, so you can have Kong beat up Cage, Sydal hits a shooting star press, and then even though Sydal has lost the match, he takes the title. The three of them, you get the same shot of the three of them on the ramp, and Brian Cage gets left laying by Kongo Kong. Kind of you get the exact same result without having to give Brian Cage a loss.
Exactly. This has to be one of the dumbest decisions they've made all year in my mind. I just don't see any way that this is a benefit. I mean, Matt said, I guess we'll get to brag about it, but you shouldn't even be highlighting this fact. So just awful, awful, awful.
And like you said, too, there's plenty of other ways to build up Kongo Kong versus Brian Cage if that's your Slammiversary match. Kongo Kong doesn't need to gloat about the fact that he cost Brian Cage's undefeated streak. Like, that should not be the reason they're fighting.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It just should be immovable force versus – I always forget that. Screw up that. Though, whatever that is, that's what they should be building up between these two. And again, if that was the plan, Kong should not have lost to Moose because we've already seen him beaten now. I don't get any of this, what they're going for. And I just don't see a way that they're going to be able to recover from this. I mean, it's not going to kill his character, but it in no way is going to make his character more interesting. Major awful decision on this one.
Yeah, I mean, they took a promotional tool out of the toolbox of Brian Cage when they didn't have to, in my opinion. And it's like, you know, I want to give these guys a benefit of the doubt. Like, I really, really, really do. But I have a hard time with it. Like, when you see stuff like this, like, again, hey, maybe 3 months from now we're looking back and going, oh, yeah, that was totally the right decision. But right now, in this moment, it just feels like one of the top, like you said, one or two wrong decisions that they could have made over the course of this year.
You know, it's like it just feels like such a waste now in the sense that they build up for weeks that world tour. So he's beating people all across the world because he needs, you know, the top opponents everywhere. Comes back to the Impact Zone and loses by count out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's the that was the payoff to all of that?
Yeah. Count out after getting thrown into the steps.
Yeah.
We'll try to go to commercial. Actually, you know what? Let's try to go to a commercial now and see if they work. And if they do, we'll be right back and we'll get to your phone calls at 515-605-9345. If they don't work, we'll keep talking and maybe try to get to some calls and see if the calls work. In just a second. So we're going to try to go to commercial. If it works, you'll hear one. If not, you'll hear Andrew and I talk again in about 5 seconds. But you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com. Wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling. This week, with the state of wrestling, Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms or get the premium version at Stitcher.com/NotSam.
All right, they work. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So we had no intro music, but maybe the closing music will work. We'll see. Again, welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast. 515-605-9345. Andrew, before we get to phone calls, I wanted to get your thoughts on something I put on Twitter. This could have been last week. I don't know if I did it this week or last week, but I have this thought that the main event, and I this might be crazy, but I feel like the main event of Bound for Glory is going to be Chris Jericho against Sami Callihan.
Oh, wow.
Do you think I'm crazy? And let me kind of explain it first. So
sure.
Callihan did Jericho's podcast probably a few months ago now. And ever since then, Jericho has raved about Sami Callihan. And I think has gone on record about how he'd want to work with him. And Don Callis has said about how big of a fan he was of Sami Callihan and all that other stuff. Impact now seems to have at least some type of working relationship with Chris Jericho. Impact talent's going to be on the Jericho Cruise. You hear Don Callis hyping the Jericho Cruise quite a bit on Killing the Town. Him and Paul Lazenby were talking about how they might have to watch their backs if Callihan were on the boat and all this other stuff. So they're playing into a lot of stuff with Sami Callihan on this cruise. I feel like they're going to run an angle on the cruise that could set up Jericho versus Callihan for Bound for Glory. Because the cruise is when? September, October? Like
that? That sounds about right. Yeah, in the early fall.
Yeah, Bound for Glory is probably mid to late fall. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like again, maybe I'm wrong because there's rumors out there that Jericho's not on the New Japan show in California because he doesn't want to do that to WWE. He'll wrestle for New Japan in Japan, but not in the U.S. So if that's the case, you know, maybe he's not going to wrestle for any other company than WWE in the U.S. And this would be totally out the window. But when you think of the relationship he has with Don Callis, the fact that they're working together here on the cruise, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's at least a possibility that match could happen, and if it does, it needs to main event Bound for Glory. I don't see how you do it any other way.
That would be huge for Impact if they were able to pull that off. I mean, Jericho is always working the fans, so he could technically say, you know, if Bound for Glory was, say, in Canada again, he could get a vibe with it that way.
Hey, that's a good point.
Yeah, because I saw that too, where he said he would not work, I believe, in another American company, something to that effect.
I had never considered that. That's a really good point. Yeah, Bound for Glory is in Toronto. He's not in the U.S.
Yeah, I don't know at this point. Like, Vince McMahon, Jericho did it, Vince McMahon isn't going to he's not going to kick him out of the company in any form. He's not, like, going to rescind his eventual Hall of Fame induction. Vince seems to get over that stuff.
Well, especially much now, easier too, these days. Yeah, and also, you got to figure, like, they're kind of working together already. I mean, you look at the fact that they're sharing footage for the network. I mean, it's not like the companies are not speaking to one another. And we've pointed out in the past, I don't think WWE looks at Impact or really anyone as being competitors, honestly. Because no one's really close to even taking a chip out of their share of the global market. I mean, they own it. They control it. So I don't know that, honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that WWE would care. He's not under contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think, yeah, exactly. He could ask for forgiveness afterwards. I still say it's probably not all that likely, but it's not something I would rule out because, yeah, Chris Jericho is really good friends with Don Callis. Impact is, you know, picking up a little bit of steam in their own way because Callis is going to be doing the All In event. It's possible. It would be fantastic for them if it happens. And I imagine that would have to be the main event of the show.
Yeah, yeah. And then one more bit of news before we go to calls. I read something today. I want to give credit. I think it was on PWInsider.com that Eli Drake has signed a contract extension through July, which gets him through the pay-per-view. Now, that leads me to believe that he's probably done after that. And the reason why I bring that, the reason why I say that is if you're talking about a contract extension and you agree to do something through July, well, then why wouldn't, if you're fine doing something for another 2 or 3 months through the end of July, why are you not okay doing something for another year or two? It feels like if that's the case and that report is true, couple of month extension to get him through the pay-per-view is probably going to be where he parts ways with the company, just because, you know, like I said, if you're able to agree for something for 3 months, why can't you agree for something for a year, unless you just want to, you know, buy yourself some time before you get out of there. So that is good news in the sense that, okay, Eli Drake's going to get a match on the pay-per-view. Who knows? They'll probably use him to put somebody over if he's truly on his way out the door. But the fact that they didn't agree to anything longer tells me that he's probably done after that. What do you think?
I thought the exact same thing too, because yeah, that's just what, a week after Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
I guess he could do the next set of tapings, or maybe Bound for Glory will be his final show. But yeah, I think he's probably just gauging WWE's interest at this point. He was kind of open about that. I listened to him on X-Pac 12360. He was pretty open about expressing interest in the company. Although he did kind of take a shot at their independent contractor status, interesting to hear. It seems he really likes Impact and what he has going on there, but everyone has the dream of landing in WWE, and I would say the odds are very good that we will see him in NXT this fall.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think so too. Okay, let's try to get to some phone calls. Let's see if the phone calls work. We now know that the switchboard works, so that's good. The audio clips work. Let's see if phone calls work, because the thing's been a little funky tonight. Let's try first Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, can you hear us? And more importantly, can we hear you? I guess phone calls might not be working. hold on. I got a little pinwheel here, so let's see if that decides to bring up Ryan here, and then we can take calls. But
I guess otherwise people can email us quick.
It might just be you and me tonight, Andrew. I don't know what's going on with blog talk tonight, but yeah, we had an issue at the beginning of the show, and now we have issues loading phone calls.
Dang. Well,
oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Now I think it just worked. Ryan, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
There we go.
There's Ryan.
Hey. So
that's all right. We got to play with it a little bit tonight, but it is working. But this is good. So we got our first phone call up. We'll see if we can get to another one after this, and we'll see if it decides to work again or if it wants to be difficult. But, Ryan, how are you?
Good. My first question I have for you is on Tommy Dreamer. Do you have any idea what he was talking about tonight when he said that he must have lost everything from pro wrestling?
Yeah, I don't. My guess is that, you know, I don't know what exactly, if he was talking about monetarily, because I know, like, he invested a lot of money in ECW, so I guess, was it possible he was talking about, he didn't really allude to it any more than just, you know, throwing out the line, so it kind of felt like it was just something he was using to try to build up, you know, his passion for the business more than anything else, but I don't know that he was identifying anything in particular there specifically. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, didn't he mention something about like head injuries and losing friends that way in his promo?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So maybe he was alluding to something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would have guessed. I guess I don't remember that exact line or when he said it. So, it's hard to say. I don't know if he's really, you know, he's probably just playing that up, that wrestling almost cost him everything. 'Cause I guess he's made a pretty good living out of it over the years. But yeah, he has also, I'm sure, seen his share of heartache with all the ECW alumni.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Passing away. So yeah, I think he's just trying to add a personal touch on that feud and play into kind of the losses he's felt over the years.
And my second question for you, have you, is on Eli Drake. In the last few weeks, has he just started to use that moonsault move off the ropes, or is that something he's been doing for a long time? I just haven't noticed it before.
Yeah, I haven't noticed it before either. I noticed it. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? He pulled the. I can't recall when his last match was, but I feel like he did it probably in the Magic and Steiner. Maybe I feel like did it. But I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But I thought I remember seeing it in the Steiner match, and then obviously again tonight. So yeah, it definitely seems like it's something new. And Andrew, who knows why? I mean, maybe he's just again trying to not pad his resume, but he's show that he could do some more things as he tries to look for options outside of Impact moving forward, potentially. But yeah, that is something he seems to have worked in more recently. No.
Yeah, on a X-Pac's podcast, he did kind of talk about that a bit. He talked about he doesn't like a lot of flip type stuff in wrestling. He thinks it looks too choreographed, and he's like, I wrestling I like is two people looking like they're getting into fights. But he also added, like, yes, but I'm also working in stuff like that now. So I don't think he's a big fan of it, but I do believe that is a new thing he's experimenting with, just to kind of. I mean, I guess that's just what people are doing these days. Yeah. Oh, the show's starting. Yeah,
now the intro music's playing. All right, well, we'll let this go.
Okay. Yeah.
It seems to be playing over itself.
Is it on a loop? Oh, there we go.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is not good at all.
Oh, wow.
How do I stop this? There's not even an option to stop it. All right, well, hold on. Hello?
Hello? Holy crap.
I don't know what that was. So that was probably my two attempts to play the intro music at the beginning of the show, which, by the way, was 27 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't, like, spam the button and hit it 20 times.
Yeah, oh, we'd still be listening to it, apparently. Well, welcome to the show again. Like we said, something's going on with Blog Talk tonight. Not quite sure what it is, but we couldn't take phone calls, and we got intros playing in the middle of the show. But Ryan, you're still with us, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, no, you are. Okay, yeah. Good. anything else in your mind tonight?
You think the match that Moose is going to have with Austin Aries has the potential to be the best match of Moose's career?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it could be up there, just because, these guys are going to be on pay-per-view, and Austin Aries, I think, even now, still today, is underrated for the type of matches he puts together. I think people look at him and go, oh, he's not really a heavyweight, he's a smaller guy. But he's had some really good matches all over the world, and especially for Impact, even in his first run with the company. So I think a guy like that can tell a good story with a guy like Moose. I think he's going to be able to bump like crazy for him. And I think Aries is good enough as a heel, too, to bring out some new things in Moose that we haven't seen before. Also, this is going to be the biggest stage that Moose has ever been on. So you have to believe that he's going to be ready to bring in, the type of performance that he's going to hope, I'm sure, elevates him to a new level, because this is the first time he's ever main evented a pay-per-view. So it's the biggest spot he's ever been in. So that's a lot of pressure, and we'll see, if he can deliver it in that type of high-pressure spot. But I think he's improved. Even Moose has improved, I think, a little bit over the last year or so as well. And just slowly but surely, I mean, when he's not doing silly things like, attacking American Talk Team, it slowly but surely feels like he's a little bit more of a main eventer. And I think that he's starting to polish himself a little bit more. And Aries is a guy that I think can pull a really good match out of a guy like that. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say it would be a disappointment if it wasn't the best match of his career. Cause yeah, it's going to be the biggest stage he's ever been on. He's got a really good opponent in the ring. He'll probably get 20 minutes about. Yeah, I feel like I know I've seen Moose in good matches, but I don't know if I've ever seen him in a great match. And if he's going to be world champion, he's going to need to start producing some of those, because Impact is definitely becoming more wrestling, you know, in-ring talent centered lately. So I would say it probably, well, I mean, I hope it is for his sake, the best match he's had. And I wouldn't doubt it if it is.
Okay. And my final question is on the X Division. You see Konga Kong or anyone else that's a super heavyweight trying to be like Brian Cage and further head into the division?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll go there with anybody. I think with Cage, it was, yeah, he's big, but he can fly and kind of do that X Division style, even though he's a bigger guy. I don't know that they have anybody else that's a bigger size that could do anything like that right now. So my guess would be no. You never know. I mean, they've made some weird moves here over the last couple of weeks, so I wouldn't rule it out. But my guess would be no. Andrew, what about you?
That would be my guess as well. I think tonight was their way of kind of writing Brian Cage out of the X Division, which is almost too bad. I think there was probably some more fun one-on-one matches he could have had over the coming weeks or maybe next couple months. But it looks like they're moving him back into the super heavyweight division. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that anytime soon.
Okay, thanks for taking my call tonight.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. Yeah. And we're going to try to get to another one here. Let's see if this works. Let's try to go to Kylan in New Jersey and see if Kylan can get brought up on the live cast this week. And again, Kylan, we're hoping that this works here. Hold on here. Getting the spinning pinwheel of doom.
Oh, wow.
Still spinning. Riveting podcasting right now, is it not? As we watch the wheel go around.
It's one of our best. Yeah.
Watch the wheel go around and see if it brings up Kylan.
It's like Impact is booking this show tonight.
I know. I almost want to apologize to Kylan. I mean, I know he can hear us.
Hi, yeah. Kylan.
It's not working for us here.
Bummer.
Oh, come on. All right, Kyle, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to go to another break. We're going to see if the breaks work again. I'll see if I can get the phone thing figured out while a break is playing. If a break even plays, maybe the break will play 27 minutes from now like the intro did. Who knows? We'll find out. But we're going to try to go to a break. We'll see if it works. And if it does, we'll try to come back with more calls here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right. Well, we're back in the live cast. The commercial worked. That's good.
Yes.
But we're still not able to pull up a call because, of course, not. Okay, Kylan, I'm going to keep trying here. Kylan in New Jersey is up next. I'm going to keep trying to get this call to come up. It just spins and spins and never brings the call up. So you click on it to bring the call up, and then it will spin that little wheel, and then it will just go back to saying the call's not brought up on the air for some reason. So, Kylan, if you can hear us, I'm sorry. We're going to keep trying. Let's hit on some of the other things on this show, though, Andrew, while I try to get Kylan to come up. And if it works, we'll just bring him up and we'll cut into whatever we're talking about to talk to Kylan. What did you think? And Ryan kind of alluded to it a little bit, but what did you think of that Eddie Edwards segment at the beginning of the show? They clearly set up Edwards and Tommy Dreamer for the pay-per-view. We talked about that last week, how we thought that was going to happen. But what did you think of that opening segment? And what do you think of Edwards and Dreamer as a match at the pay-per-view?
You know, overall, I'll say I liked it. I think it was just a different way to start the show. I think this angle is either very hit or very miss for people because it's all over the place. Eddie's acting is very erratic and kind of amateurish at times, but there's part of you. It's like the broken universe.
Hey!
Hey,
there's Kylan.
There we go.
We got you.
All right.
we'll get back to that in a second, Andrew. We do have a caller now. Kylan, right. I'm glad we finally got this to work. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, guys. And for the record, I heard everything.
Yeah, we are battling through some technical difficulties like true champions tonight. Mm-hmm.
So, as much as I hate to make this prediction and lead into what I'm going to lead into, tonight gave me the feeling that even though when he brought them in, he said he was going to stay out of their booking decisions and let them do what they needed to do because he knew that he clearly did not know what he was doing at all. Tonight gave me the feeling that perhaps Don Callis and Scott D'Amore didn't approve of most of this show, and they were forced into doing this the way they did by Ed Nordholm. And unfortunately, that leads me to believe that one of these two things is going to happen within the next year to year and a half. Either we get another management and booking team in here after Ed Nordholm realizes that the company continues to deteriorate, or since WWE is already using their footage anyway, Vince tells Triple H, make Impact an offer and buy them all out because they just can't get their stuff together.
Yeah, I hope he's staying out of the way. That would go back to having non-wrestling people or someone with not a wrestling background making wrestling decisions. That's a mistake. It happened with Dixie Carter. I mean, I'm not saying this isn't rocket science. Like, people can go in and make decisions and run a business and make good decisions that aren't necessarily former pro wrestlers, let's say. But, I mean, it would be like Ed Nordholm, who runs a television company, going in and buying a flower store and going in and telling you how you should run the flower store. Just because you run one business doesn't mean you can run another one without at least some experience in it first. So I hope that's not the case, but you never know. I mean, it's not like wrestling has a history of people who come into power who really maybe shouldn't have all the power, abusing that power and making their own decision and pushing their own agenda. What do you think, Andrew? Do you think that this is any Nordholm interplay here, or do you think it's more just bad booking decisions by the guys he's put in charge to make those booking decisions?
For now, I'll go with just bad booking. D'Amore and Callis have been kind of just doing strange things now and again. It's certainly possible. I mean, we have seen people. I mean, when Dixie Carter kind of took over TNA, she was basically just funding it. And over the years, she became more and more involved with the day-to-day operations. That certainly could be happening, or it could happen soon. For now, I'll just chalk it up. I don't know. D'Amore has been making, I think he has a history of making bad decisions on different booking committees. But I hope Nordholm stays out of their way for now.
And by the way, the filling Ryan from Cumberland's question on what Tommy Dreamer could have been talking about in his promo tonight, since Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards has been a serious blood feud, I think Tommy Dreamer was talking about his a 3-year feud with Raven in ECW.
Sure.
No, I like that. Yeah, that's a really good point.
I didn't even think of that.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, no, that is a really good point, actually. I mean, I kind of wish that they were a little more clear with that, but yeah, no, that absolutely could have been what he was talking about and would have fit the storyline really well.
Yeah, I think that probably does work, because I think he did mention that a couple weeks ago. He alluded to that feud and how it took so much from him. So, okay.
I forget exactly what he said, but he definitely alluded to it a few weeks ago. You're right.
Yeah.
And to add to your point on Chris Jericho possibly working with Sami Callihan and Bound for Glory, whenever Bound for Glory is going to be this year, don't forget that I believe it was either Ed Nordholm, the CEO of Anthem, or Ed Nordholm's boss, Leonard Asper, who called Chris Jericho personally when Anthem bought TNA and changed the name as soon as they bought it, to ask Chris Jericho, who do you know that could come in and fix this place? And Chris Jericho personally recommended that Ed or Leonard Asper hire Don Callis and Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I don't know. I mean, I get this feeling, and again, like maybe not. It seems to be a whole lot of interplay going on between people close to Jericho and Callahan, where it feels like there's something at play here. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe they're just doing that on purpose to try to generate hype and generate some buzz. But you know, it feels like they're working towards something. But again,
I'm sure
that would require a long range plan. And as we saw with Brian Cage tonight, they might not do that very well. So maybe this is all just a happy accident.
Yeah, I'm sure Jericho is considering it no matter what. I mean, he may be leaning against it heavily, but I'm sure the thought has crossed his mind to do a show for them.
Yeah. So my first question for this week is in regards to our semi-main event tonight, which was Eli Drake versus Moose. Does Eli Drake's loss tonight officially confirm that he's leaving Impact, which would explain why Don Callis and Scott D'Amore didn't even try to put him in a world title match on their second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
I mean, with the reports now that he signed just a pretty short-term extension, yeah, I think it might. At least this shows to me that they don't have any real long-range plans for him, because I'm not sure what else he does at the pay-per-view now. You look at it and say, okay, there's, you know, they did the Steiner thing coming out of Redemption. Was it Redemption? It was Redemption, right? What do they call it?
Under Pressure? That one or the pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view.
Redemption, yeah.
It was, okay. So coming out of Redemption, they do the thing with Steiner, and they make him and Drake the World Tag Team Champions. Then, you know, they break up that feud relatively quickly. and or that angle, they break up that team relatively quickly and go right into them having a quick feud against each other, and it all kind of ended, you know, after that. So it seems like they've wrapped up so much stuff with him that I don't know what there really is for him to do at the pay-per-view now.
Yeah, I don't. Nothing's popping into my mind. They'd have to throw together a feud quickly.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
And by the way, WWE is indeed interested in using Eli Drake, according to Dave Meltzer. So he probably is out the door after this extension is over.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense, right? I mean, if they're interested and he's interested, it makes sense to just let him explore those options and see where it goes from there.
My second question concerns the Knockouts division. Why do you believe that Killer Hogan was given so much offense over Tessa Blanchard tonight, since Tessa Blanchard has been regarded from virtually day one that she's been in the wrestling business as a premier women's competitor? And since Impact so desperately needs women's competitors at this time, you would think that they would want to build the division around her, as you guys talked about on last week's show.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with Tessa Blanchard. I mean, they had her lose a couple of weeks ago to Madison Rayne, and now they're like Kylan said here, they gave Kira Hogan a lot of offense. I mean, she almost got the win. they're playing up this thing with Tessa Blanchard not liking the referee. You heard Don Callis talk about that tonight. Like, oh, she doesn't think he counts fast enough, or that she's had an issue with him in the past. Like, I don't get that. That's another one where it's like, I just don't know what the long range plan is. But it feels like they should have a much better long range plan than what they have going right now with Tessa Blanchard. Do you agree with me, Andrew?
The Knockouts division as a whole is really weird right now. I mean, tonight, Taya Valkyrie returns. They push her finally as kind of dominant again. Rebel shows up for some reason and got in quite a bit of offense. I think they see something in Kira Hogan because they keep giving her a little bit of something. You know, when she took on Laurel Van Ness for the Knockouts title, and then they kind of put her on the back burner for a bit, and then she comes back. I think there's just not enough women at this point for Tessa to squash somebody, but they should just be bringing in a wrestler for her to squash.
That's what they've
done
in the past, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just bad booking. I'm going to chalk that up to bad booking as well, because I don't get it. Like, if you're going to make Tessa feel like a star, they're doing a horrible job of it so far.
And my final question before I close with a recommendation for you is, why do you suppose the extremely newly formed team of KM and Falabar is apparently being broken up after only a month or a month and a half of working together in this god-awful fake DDP motivational speaker angle for KM, with him doing a fake Tony Robbins / DDP health guru angle
with Falabar. Yeah, my guess, like Andrew has pointed out as well, there's no planning going on whatsoever. to start them together and then so quickly take it off the table and go potentially in a different direction is, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I can tell you that.
Maybe your theory, Kylan, of Ed Nordum kind of taking over creative has some merit. Because, yeah, the more I think about this, none of this is making sense right now. And if this is Callis and Damore, like, they're not going to turn this thing around with all this erratic booking. That was kind of fun in its own way, that pairing. Run it out for 2 months. I don't know. But just like Scott Steiner and Eli Drake, you can't get emotionally invested in what they're doing because they just break it up for no real reason. So they can go back to KM and Falabah feuding? Like, why pair them up in the first place then? A lot of strange things going on.
And that closes my questions, but briefly, if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend that you go out of your way to watch this week's edition of Something Else to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, as the topic was mostly AJ Styles within TNA and Impact, but it also had its fair share of incompetent Impact story, and Bruce discussed what it was like being the head of talent relations and creative at the same time, and how he could never get straight answers out of Dixie, Bob, or Janice Carter on any important matters.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I actually started watching that earlier today. I haven't finished it yet, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So I will be checking that one out for sure.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that too.
Please go out of your way to watch it. It was just unbelievable listening to all of these stories.
Definitely. Will do. Well, hey, I'm glad we were able to make the phone lines work and get you on the line tonight, Kylan.
I am too. Hopefully you'll have better luck next week, guys.
We'll hope. That's the plan. All right. Thanks for the call, as always.
You're welcome. We'll talk next week, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Sounds good.
All right, let's try for another break, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. If the breaks work, we're crossing our fingers again. We'll see if this – it's been working, though. I probably just jinxed ourselves, but the last 20 minutes or so has been okay. But we're going to try another one here. If it works, we'll be back in a second right here in the PW Torch Livecast.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. where I cover Raw on my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
All right, back here in the live cast. Andrew, let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the well, not at the beginning of the show, but at, right before the Kylan's call came through. I know we were kind of talking about that Eddie Edwards, Tommy Dreamer segment at the beginning of the show and thoughts there. If you could, kind of wrap up your thought on how you felt that beginning of the show angle played out.
I enjoyed it. It was a different way to kind of start the show. This angle, it's not for everyone, but so, I don't know. It's kind of a guilty pleasure at times, and at times I just think it's idiotic. But this kind of worked for me, and to set up that match, and probably one of Eddie's better acting performances to date. Not that that's saying a lot, really. Well, what'd you think?
Yeah, I didn't mind it either. I thought that Edwards was much better here. I would agree. Mm-hmm. I thought that they did some good things in that regard. It's tough because, you know, the execution up to this point hasn't been terrific, right? But
right, yeah.
I thought that this was okay. I really did. I thought that I felt like this was the best that angle has played up to this point anyway.
I'd probably agree with that because most of the other segments have their really stupid parts. Like last week, OBE was just teleporting for some reason. And then we nearly witnessed that murder. When you take out that stuff and just kind of give us Eddie's gone too far, like that kind of that works in itself. So, yeah, a good way to start the night.
What else? Is there anything else that we've talked about most of what this show had? Is there anything else glaring that we missed here?
No, I guess just we were wondering about the future of Pentagon. So it looks like he's sticking around for a bit, going to be feuding with OVE, it looks like.
Him and Phantasma, right?
Yeah. So I think that could be kind of fun for a bit. And it's encouraging, I think, just that he's sticking around because they do need main event talent right now.
Yeah, 100%. And who knows, again, if that's going to be past the pay-per-view or not. But, hey, at least it's something for now because he has done a pretty good job, I think, of kind of integrating himself and feeling like a legitimate star on the show. Whereas I'm not sure I would have said that, you know, before the pay-per-view especially. But since they've began utilizing him in a more main event type role, they gave him the title. And even in subsequent weeks, even after he's lost the title here, it feels like he's a bigger star than he was back in April for sure.
Yeah. Another thing, the last time we saw Rebel, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't like Earl Hebner force a kiss on her or something and put a cowboy hat on her head?
Yes.
during the Jeff Jarrett era?
Yes. Like,
what a weird way for a character to disappear and then suddenly reappear. And I'm assuming will disappear for another, I don't know, maybe we'll never see her again.
Who knows? Yeah, but no, that did happen. And now Earl's gone too, so.
Man. What a year. Like ODB, I think, was in that match. Yeah, and she's gone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was. And she's gone as well. Jeez, whole segment's gone.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that actually happened.
Yep, the whole segment's gone. So, all right. We're going to do a VIP after show tonight. So we're going to head over to there in just a second. Anything we need to button up and wrap up before we get out of the live cast this week, though?
I don't think so. As usual, I will quickly plug pwpodcast.com. If you don't have all the time to listen to every big wrestling podcast out there, which I do not myself, go over there and check out our reviews and recaps of the shows. We rate them 1 to 10. Jim Ross, Chris Jericho, Something to Wrestle, Jim Cornette, Killing the Town. We got a great collection. If there's one we don't have on there and you're interested in contributing, you can email me and we'll get you set up. pwpodcast@gmail.com. Always good stuff on there. We should have, I think, 83 weeks up soon. And yeah, always check back. Otherwise, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it is Andrew, SOUCEK.
You can follow me on Twitter @MikeMcMahonPW, as in pro wrestling. And Andrew and I are going to do a VIP after show just a couple of minutes. So if you're listening on the feed, if you're not listening to us live and you're listening to us on your podcast feed, you're going to hear us again in just a couple of minutes talking Money in the Bank. We're going to make our predictions. But then you get a lot more if you're PW Torch VIP. You don't just get Andrew and I making our pay-per-view predictions. You're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. And Wade Keller is going to tell you everything you're going to get if you go VIP in just a second. But for Andrew Socek, I'm Mike McMahon. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Thursday Livecast. VIP members, we'll talk to you in just a couple of minutes. And non-VIP members, we'll see you next Thursday when we return live here on the PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Life!